We're in our series, Journey with Jesus. You journey with Jesus daily? I hope daily. Hope not just on Sunday like Dan talked about. Though I've had those seasons of life. Hopefully not when I was pastoring. Jesus wants to be involved each and every day of our lives, each and every minute, moment, step, if we'll invite him into our moments each and every day. He wants to be with us. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at know Jesus, grow in Christ, and show his love. Those are going to be the three topics we look at over the next 3 weeks. Today is titled Know Jesus. N-O Jesus exclamation point is not the title. It's K-N-O-W, Jesus. Just so we get that clear, it's all about Jesus. But how do we know him? How do we relate to him? What are you doing actively in your life to get to know him more? As I think about my guiding career, one of the things that makes me successful is I know the areas we're going to hunt. As outfitters in Idaho, you have specific areas and only specific places you can set your camp and hunt from there. And so I have an intimate knowledge of the mountains around our campsites, which makes us a lot more successful than if you would just pick a spot on the map and say, let's go hunting there, let's check it out. Because I have years of knowledge, thousands of hours of feet on the ground, horses on the mountain. It's the same way in our walk with Jesus. As we get to know him more, we become more successful at being Christ-like in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, because we have a better understanding and knowledge of who he is. So this knowing Jesus is a very intimate part of our relationship and daily walk, or should be, an intimacy that he invites us to. He says, will you come and be with me? We just finished up a life group last week. It was titled Made for Friendship. And the whole book is all about God made us for friendship since the beginning, since before the creation of the earth. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were united in friendship, were united in relationship. And God created us, Adam and Eve in the garden, to be engaged and involved in friendship with God. And it was interesting because one of the gentlemen in this group, prior to this group, said, I never thought about God as a friend. I didn't realize that was a possible relationship for me. He's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's my King. But God is so great and so vast, and there is so much to learn and know and explore about who he is. That's why we do life groups. That's why we do Bible studies. That's why we do church together as a body, so we can grow in our knowledge of who our Lord and Savior is, all the many different character traits and attributes and titles and names that he has over us. So I encourage you, know Jesus. Continue knowing, continue growing, and then we get to the showing of who he is to the world around us. So in Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, we'll start with this passage. The Blackhawks are coming. Get to the chopper. I mean, it's the elephant in the room. You can't ignore it, right? Got to talk about it. Everybody heard the chopper. Now we get back to the word. Revelations 3, chapter 20. Oops, excuse me. Chapter 3, verse 20. Of course, red letters here, Jesus speaking through John. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. So there's a lot going on in this passage prior to that. This is a letter given to John through a vision, through Jesus, to the church of Laodicea. And he's talking to this church people. He's like, look, You're not hot, you're not cold, you're like lukewarm, and I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But this is what I've really come for, is to invite you in to have this intimate relationship with me, dining with me, interacting with me. But you're choosing this other thing. You're choosing to love the world and your possessions and all that you have going on here on earth and putting me to the side. Now, in this day and age, in their geographical region, there were cold springs that came up that were good for refreshing, good for drinking. They were very vital for cleansing. And there were also hot springs that would come up. And they were good for bathing and cleansing and medicinal purposes. But some of the villages in between didn't have springs, so they would have to channel the water in ductwork around the mountain or through the earth for miles. And by the time it got to their city, it was this lukewarm, kind of nasty, stagnant water that often was very tepid. And they had problems with keeping it drinkable, and it wasn't really usable because it was not cold enough to be good drinking. It was not hot enough to be good for cleansing and bathing. So it was lukewarm. So to the hearers of this word, this is like monumental for them because their life revolved around water. And when Jesus says you're lukewarm, meaning you're the nasty water that isn't good for anything, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus is telling them, I want you to know how I feel about you right now. This is my invitation to you, what I've called you to be in relationship with me, that we may sit and dine together. But this is what you're choosing, your worldly possessions, your worldly wealth, and you're choosing to rely on that instead of know who I am. Jesus invites you and I to the same. Are we participating in knowing who he is? Are we growing in knowing who he is? And lastly, are we showing the world around us who he is? So Revelation 3:20, we're going to read it again. Here I am, Jesus says. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Jesus is at the door knocking. Are we listening? Do we hear the knock? And are we willing to open the door and let him in? Say, come be Lord of my life. Jesus, come on in. He says that we may dine together, that I will eat with them and they will eat with me. Now, hospitality in this day and era was very different, possibly, than what we currently experience. But hospitality for them was, if you come in under my roof, you're under my protection. I will give my life to protect you. It was much more than just a table to sit at and a meal to eat. It was, I'll take care of your animals. I'll put them up. I'll give them fodder to lay on and food to eat, and I'll take care of you and protect you from any harm that would come your way. That's what Jesus is inviting us to. He says, I want to have this relationship with you. Do you know what I'm inviting you to? The church of Laodicea had forgotten what they were invited to. Do we remember? Do we acknowledge what Christ has invited us to? Jesus invites us to know him. We're going to look at a few passages to talk about different ways that we can know Christ that he has invited us to. In John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know that Jesus is the only way? He spells it out for us very clearly. He says, I'm the only way. I want you to know that so you don't pick the wrong way. I want you to know that I am the way. And not only am I the way, but I'm the truth. The truth being his word, Jesus Christ, the written word of God. He says, I want you to know my word. I want you to know my truth. So I'm going to have it written down for you so you can study it and learn it and know it and experience who I am through reading and the teaching of the word. He says, not only that, I want you to know that I am the life, meaning the resurrection life, life everlasting. This is what Jesus invites us to and wants us to know about him. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know that God loves you so much? That even before we chose him, he chose us. He said, I love you so much. And what does his word say about love? It said, the greatest act of love is for one to lay down one's life for one's friend. What did Jesus do for us? He laid down his life for us. The greatest act of love. Jesus wants you to know that he thinks you're worth dying for. Do you know that? It's probably not what you've been told by everyone around you. You've probably heard some other things. But Jesus thinks that you and I are worth dying for. And he willingly went to the cross to pay for us because he loves us so much. I hope that you know that today. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, of Jesus calling his first disciples. Matthew 4, 18 through 20, 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Sometimes as we journey with Jesus, we get to know him in a whole new capacity, a whole new level. These first disciples that Jesus called, he said, he's inviting them to come and get to know him. He doesn't say, you know, if you want to show up Sunday and hang out with me. He says, no, leave your occupation, your business, your family. Come get to know me. This is a great ask. What's Jesus asking you to do? What's Jesus asking you to leave? What's he calling you to? Sometimes the calling is great. Sometimes it's life-altering and changing. He called me out of the mountains to come pastor. Sometimes it's very sacrificial to answer the call of what he's asking you to do. And sometimes it's just in the everyday beats of life. Arby, will you put your agenda down for an hour and go have a conversation and pray for somebody? Arby, will you give up an evening to go meet with a family? Arby, will you? Sometimes it's just the everyday, what's God calling me to? And sometimes it's the life-altering, what's God calling me to? But we need to know him so that we know in those moments what he's asking of us to do. God, what are you speaking to me? If we don't have that intimate relationship with him, we can miss some stuff. I had an appointment yesterday at the grocery store that I didn't know I had. And I wasn't feeling very good, and I just wanted to get in and out. I met this guy in an aisle and had a lengthy conversation. But he's in need of some pastoral counsel and help. So I could have said, you know, I'm not feeling good. Like, talk to somebody else. Or I could suck it up and not feel good and have the conversation anyway. And that's a really small ask, in my opinion. But sometimes God says, hey, Arby, will you quit your job and come work for me? Your job that you love? And who doesn't want to get paid to ride snowmobiles and ATVs and horses in the mountains? Some of you probably wouldn't like that, but I loved it. Sometimes it's a really big ask. I think the appropriate answer is yes, whatever you want, Lord. But as you grow in your knowledge of who He is in your life, you gain that understanding of giving God your yes doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean there's not going to be hard times. Doesn't mean there's not going to be pain and suffering. But it means you're giving Him your obedience and you're yielding your life to His call. As we know Jesus, He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He loves us unconditionally. And He will take care of us and meet our needs along the way. What are the everyday opportunities that Jesus is calling you to? In your workplace, in your home, in your own family, in your place of recreation and fun, maybe in your school, maybe in your community when you're out and about just getting groceries, just having a meal at a diner, stopping in at the coffee shop. If we'll listen, because we know God, we'll hear Him calling, saying, Arby, will you take a minute? Arby, will you take 10 minutes? Arby, will you take an hour? If we're listening, as we begin to know and experience the voice of God, I think of it as my children. I can generally tell who's talking to me when I hear their voice. I don't have to, wait, who said that? Why? Because I know them. I have an intimate relationship with them. I speak to them almost daily. And their voices are embedded in my mind, in my ears, in my memory. And when I hear them call, I don't have to question who it is. And Jesus is inviting us to that place in relationship with Him. So we don't have to question, is this God or is this just me? Or is it, you know, pizza I had last night? And we respond with, yes, Lord. There are several ways we can get to know Jesus that we're going to look at here through His Word. Psalms 119:11. The Word of God is very, very pivotal for us to get to know the Lord. Psalms 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we know not to sin against God? We know His word. Jesus Christ written down on paper. The truth of God's word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. John 1:1. We know the Word of God, and it helps us to know who Jesus is, helps us to experience. In Psalms 145, 18 through 19. Psalms 145, verse 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord wants you to know that He is near. And when we call, He hears. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Do you know that the Lord fulfills your desires? Do you know that he's capable and able? Do you ever ask? He hears the cry and saves them. Have you ever been lost? I had to cry out for help. And it felt like no one was around. I've not been in that situation personally, but I had a friend in high school. I took him hunting, showed him this area. We went a couple of times. And then he thought he would take his family there and go hunting, and did so. And pretty soon it's getting dark, and pretty soon it is dark, and pretty soon he has no idea where he's at. And pretty soon he's going, "Hey, you guys!" And there's no answer. And so for hours he's screaming in the woods, trying to get a response, and ends up having to stay the night on the mountain in the pouring sleet, rain, nasty, cold, wet, couldn't get a fire going. You know what was music to his ears the next day? When he heard people shout back to his, "Hey, you guys!" Good news is, I told him, if you ever get lost, hug a tree. He took it literally. I like to build a fire too, but isn't it good to know the truth of God's word tells us he hears us when we call? Are you calling? He invites us to call on him. He invites us to communicate and engage in relationship with him. Do you call on the name of the Lord? What does your prayer life sound like? God's word is one way that we get to know him. Reading, studying, hearing his word taught. Another way is through our prayer life. Prayer is multifaceted, very big topic. But perhaps your prayer life is only like a 911 call. "God, this is my emergency, help." Our prayer life should be so much greater than just that. God says, "Yes, call upon me in your time of need. Call upon me when you need help. I will hear and respond and answer." But also there are prayers of praise and thanksgiving. Do you ever just pray to God and give him thanks and adoration for all he's done, all he is? And it can be as simple as, "God, thank you for this amazing facility we get to meet and gather in when it's 14 degrees outside and we're pretty comfortable in here. And thank you for these amazing chairs that are cushy and comfortable that we get to sit upon. And thank you for the amazing lights so we can see one another. And thank you for clothes." And it can be that simple, just giving thanks and praise to God. It should be part of our daily prayer life. God also wants to hear about your wants, your needs. Do you feel comfortable going before the throne of God for your wants and needs? I used to really struggle with my wants. Needs was kind of tough, but not super tough, because, Lord, we need this or else. But wants, like, felt out of the realm of me being worthy to even come before the throne and ask for something I would want. Until I had this guest of mine from the ranch call me one day, and he said, "Hey, Arby, I want to go to Africa, and I don't want to go alone. Will you go with me? I want to take you on a safari." And I thought about it, and I thought, man, that's really generous. And yeah, and he offered to pay for everything. I was like, yeah, I can't do that. And so a week or so later, I was on my walk with God out in the woods and talking with God, and God said, "So, if I want to bless you, you won't accept it?" And it was like a spear to the heart. It was like God and I were getting real. And I was like, oh, I'd never even thought of it that way. That God would want to do that for me. That I was worthy of his hand of blessing in that manner. So I called my friend back up and said, hey, if that offer still stands, I'm in. So God sent me to Africa as his blessing to me. Something I had never spoke to anyone but God. Something that I would probably never do on my own. Unless it was for mission work. But God just says, hey, I just want to bless you. It was a want, like way at the end of my bucket list. Like, if it never happened, I'd be cool with that too. I've been so blessed in all of my life. Like, I'm content. But God says, I want to bless you. It's like, all right, God, here we go. God wants to hear your needs. He wants to hear your laments. What breaks your heart? What troubles you? What keeps you up at night? God wants you to pour it out. That's an important part of our prayer life. What do you lament over? Pour it out to God. God wants you to know that he cares about your joys and your sorrows. In prayer to God, talk about your joys and your sorrows. Man, God, this was a fantastic part of my week. I loved it and enjoyed it so much. Man, God, this part of my week was really kind of bummer. Can we not do that again? Or if we do, give me the strength to endure it one more time. How do you communicate and talk to God? I was talking with of course, another grocery store. I have a lot of grocery store experiences. I was talking with a gentleman in the store about personal needs, and I was like, hey, do you mind if we just talk to God and, you know, if I can pray for you? And yeah, go ahead. And of course, I try not to be weird and awkward, and like, we don't get the lamb's blood out and sprinkle it. And so I'm just standing there, just looking at him, talking to God. And he apparently didn't know I was praying. So after I get done talking to God and praying for him, he goes, well, are we going to pray now? I was like, well, I just did. He goes, you did? I was like, yeah. Prayer was just conversation with God. He goes, we don't have to kneel or anything? No, not really. I mean, you can, but it's not necessary. But prayer should be so natural and part of our daily lives that it just looks normal. It should be part of who we are and what we do. Another part of our prayer life should be silence, meditation, listening. Okay, God, I spoke. Now I'm going to sit in your presence. Because God invites us into his presence that we may know him, fully know him, truly know him. Part of your prayer life should just be utter silence, sitting before the Lord listening. What would you speak to me today? What would you have me do today? What would you have me know? And that's like a whole nother topic. It's multifaceted. John 14:26. Another piece of Jesus that he wants us to know about. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to heaven to the Father. He's speaking with his disciples. He says, don't worry, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus wants you to know he does not leave us. He did not leave us alone. And the cool part about the Holy Spirit is it says he will teach us. Can you be taught? Are you teachable? That ends on us. It says he will teach us. But in order to be taught, you have to be teachable. You have to engage in the relationship with the Holy Spirit and become teachable that he may teach you. It says also, he will remind us of everything the Lord has said to us. He will remind us of his word, but if we haven't got the word into us, he doesn't have a lot to remind us of. So knowing Jesus, reading his word, it's kind of like, I can't tell you what I had for breakfast Thursday, or maybe even yesterday, but I know I ate something, and it has given my body sustaining fuel. You don't have to remember every word of the Bible memorized right now. Okay, tell me what Habakkuk 3:17 says. I have no idea. People often think, at least me, like, well, you're a pastor, don't you know? I'm like, uh-uh, let's look it up. I know John 3:16. That's a really important one. I can probably quote a few other ones. But if we put it in, the Holy Spirit can bring it to our memory. So what are you giving him to bring to your memory in a time of need? What are you filling the tank with? What reservoir of the Word of God, the knowledge of who God is, do you have built inside of you that the Holy Spirit can draw it to your remembrance in that time of need? Because he wants you to know him in that capacity. Another way that we get to know Jesus, 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Jesus wants you and I to know that we were made to be different. We were made to be unique and individual because we complete the entirety of the body of Christ. And when we come together in unity, it's beautiful. It's glorious. When I was in Africa 10 years ago on a mission trip, we went to this ballet while I was there. Some of the missionaries that lived over there, their kids went to the school and were part of the whole production. And there were like 147 dancers in the whole ballet production. And they did a bunch of like individual or 10 or 20 on stage at a time. But the final like The final act of the ballet was all 147 dancers across the stage doing this performance all at once. And it was like in this giant coliseum, probably seated 20 or 30,000 people. And being from Kuski, Kamiai, Idaho, it was quite large. But as I'm sitting there watching this ballet take place and just like God begins showing me all the different dancers on the stage and all the different nationalities, and it's this huge mosaic. And like at first he starts highlighting the different nationalities, and like there were at least 16 that I could pick out. And then he started showing me the different shapes and sizes, and you have some people like 7 feet tall down to like midgets and everywhere in between. And God begins showing me, this is what I'm like, and it takes up the whole world to make who God is. All the different, and in Genesis, we were created in his image and likeness. It takes all of that to make up who he is. And we each reflect a different part and piece and attribute of who he is. And as all that's going on, I was at a point in my life where I thought I was getting a handle on who God was. And I was possibly even getting a little proud about knowing God and like, yeah, I know God. I've got him figured out. And while all that's going on the stage, in a vision, this giant galvanized bucket shows up in the room, like a 10,000 gallon bucket. It like filled the thing. Maybe 100,000 gallon bucket, I don't know. But right up above the bucket, there's this little, you know, the old metal spigots that were outdoors. Your grandma had one. You attach a garden hose and drink from it. If you were born before 2000. If you're past that, you drink from a bottle. But there's a little spigot, and it like, I see a hand come down and grab it and tweak it just a little, and then right back off. And this one drop of water goes, hits the bottom of the bucket and goes, and God says, you think you know me. This bucket is who I am. This drop of water is what you know about me. And I am wrecked, completely undone, begin sobbing in the middle of this ballet. And I'm like, I hope nobody's watching. It's like, wow, Arby's really moved by ballet. Had nothing to do with the ballet. But it was almost like an invitation of God saying, come and experience who I am. You know nothing about me. You've just got a taste of who I am. And that is what God invites you and I to know him. And it is endless. We can spend the rest of our lives and we will not know but a few drops of who he is. And that's why I believe he offers us life everlasting through his son, Jesus Christ. So we have all of eternity to get to know who he really is. But just what I've experienced in this life on this earth, taste and see that I am good. God is so good. He is so faithful. He is so generous. He is so loving. He is so kind. My life will forever be changed because of him. Last verse we're going to look at today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. Excuse me. Heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God's plan was to walk with us intimately daily as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. That's how he set it up. Of course, this passage is taken right after the fall of Adam and Eve. They have just looked at the fruit on the forbidden tree, taken, eaten, sin entered. We put the separation between us and God. God invites us to know him so well that when we hear the sound of him coming, we know it's him. Adam and Eve had this relationship with God. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I'm usually the first one up in my household. And I can tell who gets up by the sound of their feet coming down the hall. I don't have to say, hey, Brielle, is that you? No, because she has a very lively skippity-doo-dah, thumpity-thump step. Like, nope, that's Brielle, she's awake. And then if I hear the sloth coming down the hall, feet sliding, I know Selway's up. Is it morning? But God invites us to that intimate relationship with him. That when we hear him entering, we don't have to go, is this God? Is God asking me to do this? Is this someone else? Am I just making it up? But he invites us to know him. He invites us daily to know him more. The invitation is there. As we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll let me in, we're going to eat together. He's still there knocking. Are we letting him in? Are we letting him have access to our lives? And not only that, are we letting him have full access to our lives? Sometimes we compartmentalize. Well, God, you can have this area and this area and this area, but this piece I'm saving for me. Which is all part of the journey of walking with Christ, is getting to know him more and experience him more and trust him more. And we continue yielding different aspects of our life over to him as we trust him more, as we know him more. So engage with the process of knowing Jesus. Next week, we're going to look at growing in Jesus. How do we grow and develop and mature as sons and daughters of God Most High?